I want to begin my homily by reading a quote from Bishop Athanasius Schneider from this week. The most urgent task of the church in our time is to care about the change of the spiritual climate and about the spiritual migration, namely, that the climate of non-belief in Jesus Christ, the climate of the rejection of the kingship of Christ, be changed into the climate of explicit faith in Jesus, of the acceptance of his kingship, that men and women may migrate from the misery of spiritual slavery of unbelief into the happiness of being sons and daughters of God, and from a life of sin into the state of sanctifying grace. These are the migrants about whom we must care most urgently. This is the mission of the church, to seek the salvation of souls. We're in the business of being fishermen, after all, of catching a great load of souls for Jesus. We hear our blessed Lord and Master tell St. Peter, "Duc in altum, cast into the deep." This command is perhaps more urgent today than when it was first said. St. John Paul II, at the cusp of the third millennium, right before the church reached the year 2000, wrote a document to the entire church calling all of us to holiness. And in that document he said that our parishes must become schools of prayer, places of contemplation, that if the gospel will take root in the third millennium, it will only bear fruit if the Christian people give back the primacy to prayer. And so we are invited by Jesus himself to leave the shallow ends of the lake in our relationship with him and to cast into the deep, into the great adventure of a life of prayer and friendship with Jesus. It's time to get off of the shores, brothers and sisters. It's time to cast ourselves into the deep. God desires all of us, every single soul in this church, to become a great saint. And it is possible through a life of deep prayer and friendship with Christ and participation in his sacraments. There's a temptation in the church that's always existed and that is very strong today, and that is a temptation towards activism. To worry about doing before worrying about being. We can all fall into the Martha syndrome. Remember Martha and her sister Mary? They had the Lord Jesus over to their house for supper, and Martha's running around cooking and preparing this feast, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes and says, "Lord, tell my sister Mary to help." And Jesus looks at Martha and shakes his head and says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. Only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Only one thing is necessary. We should heed Jesus on this. I think he knows what he's talking about. He's kind of an expert on these things. What's the one thing necessary that Mary chose but to sit at the feet of Jesus, giving us one of the best images for Christian prayer that we could have? Putting ourselves at the feet of Jesus and contemplating him. Otherwise, we fall into Pelagianism, Pelagianism is a heresy condemned by the church in which we no longer rely on the help of God's grace to grow in our spiritual lives, but we delude ourselves into thinking we can do it on our own. Perhaps for some of us, it's God's timeline is too slow, so I'm going to take control and we're going to move it forward a little faster. The problem is that no matter what we do, without the help of God's grace, it will be done in vain. We have to depend on the Lord for everything. To be totally dependent on the Lord Jesus and on the power of His grace. One of my favorite saints is St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests. And he was a priest in Ars, outside of Lyon in France, after the French Revolution, which was a terrible time for the Catholic Church because priests and nuns and faithful Catholics were being massacred for their faith. It was a time where you couldn't live your faith publicly. John Vianney, as a young man, was used to his family welcoming the priest into their home and hiding the priest. They would secretly celebrate Mass in the barn. And the villagers who were Catholic had to be trusted enough to invite them to Mass secretly without the authorities catching them. Because if they were caught, they would be killed. And of course, you had to be very discerning on who you told to come to the Mass, because someone could easily snitch and report the Catholics to the French government. So John Vianney grew up in this time period with an intense love for the Lord and heard the call to be a priest from a young age. And he tells the story of when he got to his parish in Ars, there was only 30 souls that went to Mass. And over the 25 years that he was the priest, he was able to get the entire village, not a single soul, missed out on attending Mass. People would pray their rosaries every day and make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And he tells the story of watching this young farmer come in and pray and spend hours every day sitting before the Blessed Sacrament. And one day, St. John Vianney walked up to him and he said, "Sir, I see you spending hour after hour before Christ in the tabernacle. What do you do? What do you say?" And the man said to St. John Vianney, "I look at God, and God looks at me." That was the essence of his prayer. He had moved to the place where he didn't even need words. He just came to be in the presence of the Lord, to experience the warmth of the Lord's love and grace, and to be attentive and present to him. That's what we need today. That's the type of fishermen who are going to go and bring many souls to Jesus. Because the world needs an authentic witness of someone who truly knows Christ. Not someone who knows a lot about Christ. That's not particularly helpful. Someone who knows Jesus. Someone who has been deeply loved by Christ in the way that Christ deeply desires to love each one of us. And that can only come from spending hours silently in His presence, brothers and sisters. Jesus wants to love you and to transform you so that He can make you a fisher of men. Because souls are going to hell. And Jesus warns us over and over and over again in the Holy Gospel that narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and few are on it. And broad is the path that leads to eternal destruction, and many are on it. Our task is to know the Lord Jesus, to cast out into the deep in our life of prayer with Him, to not be okay with spiritual mediocrity, because God does not want that for any of his children. The world promises you comfort, but you weren't made for comfort. You were made for greatness. You were made for God. And nothing less than his love can satisfy your heart. We should also take this gospel as an invitation as a church to pray for vocations to the priesthood. Our parish has been so blessed since the time of our foundation to have many vocations to the priesthood from our own community. Let's continue to pray that the Lord raise up holy men from our families to encourage our boys to consider the priesthood. But Father, he won't be happy. I beg to differ. It is a wonderful life to be a priest of Jesus Christ. The most joyful life I can imagine. Well, I want grandchildren, Father. Well, that's why we're Catholic. We have many children, so you can give one to the Lord and you can still have grandchildren. Be generous. That's our call as Christians, to bear fruit. And it's a beautiful thing to have a priest in your family. Priest who holds the body and the blood of Christ in his hands and feeds God's holy people, who brings his mercy and his truth into an age desperately in need of the gospel. This is the time to pray for the resurrection of fishers of men from our parish, because hearts are hungry for God. People are starving. We have to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the harvest, and that they be holy priests, priests after the heart of Jesus. There's a quote that I want to end with from Dom Jean Baptiste Chotard, a great Carthusian abbot of the 19th century. This was quoted by St. John Vianney. If the priest in the parish is a saint, the people will be fervent. If the priest is fervent, the parish will be pious. If the priest is pious, then the parishioners will be at least decent in their moral lives. If the priest is only decent, the people will be godless. The spiritual generation is always one degree less intense in its life than the one who begets it in Christ. Let's ask the Lord to raise up holy priests to serve his church and to have families that are places of deep prayer. Praise be Jesus Christ.